Our time at Luna Nova is coming to an end, and the stakes couldn't be higher. Welcome back for the final time to the Land of Magic. Reach out, and our after show will begin. It's the Little Witch Academia after show on AfterBuzz TV, and it starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Look, I'm just saying, when this song started up in the finale, we watched it together, and I was trying not to feel everything. The emotional spectrum is going off the charts when we got Shiny Ray again, because we've said over and over that this theme sort of perfectly encapsulates the feeling of the show. Second theme, really coming around to it. But also the fact that the final episode didn't open with anything, and it was just a cold open. Once this came through, it was like, stop! It's magic! Magic's happening! Anyway, we're going to talk about all that and more. Welcome to the Little Witch Academia After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Today we're talking about the final two episodes, A Road to Arcturus and Changing at the End of the World. Woo! We're finally here. I'm one of your hosts, the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. But I'm not alone. Joined by some of my fellow hosts, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Yes, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles.
Rachel Goodman.
Hi, guys. I'm Rachel. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
Man, it's so much fun. And we're happy that everybody's watching this live. This is a long time coming. Oh, boy. Yeah, oh boy. This show debuted in Japan in January as a weekly release show, and only in July did it come out on Netflix. And oh boy, were we not happy about it. Now, yes, on one end, it's over. But on the other end, man, did it end so lovely and leaving us feel good. Let's get there. Let's start by talking about A Road to Arcturus. Man. You want to talk about a whole bunch of references in 1 minute.
Star Wars.
We got a magical lightsaber. We got Chariot doing the Kage Bunshin no Jutsu for you shinobi out there. Yes, I watched Naruto once, but... I was into Naruto. We're going to talk about anime, different anime, a little bit at the end of the show. But this big... It's the fight. Like, we thought... earlier in the season that was going to be the fight. We end up seeing another confrontation. Chariot's captured. A lot of stuff happens in 1 second. What was your reaction to this explosion of a start to episode 24?
I kept thinking that they were going to do something more to Chariot. Not just take away her magic, which is obviously the route they went, but I kept thinking they were gonna make her, I don't know, angrier or like just take advantage of her emotions, like what Croy was trying to do in the beginning. So when it didn't happen, I just kept waiting for it to happen, and that's kind of what I thought until it didn't.
How about you, Stace?
Well, I really liked kind of the introduction of that idea that if you face Croy with complete lack of emotion, that was her kind of way of fighting back at first. So I feel like if Chariot had been super emotional, she probably would have been drained kind of right then and there. So having someone confront her first that knew how she operated was nice.
And that was also a tease for something that happened later in the episode, which we'll get to. So because of the confusion with the continuing soccer riots, the anger starts to reach a fever pitch, and the noir magic, the noir engine,
fuel spirit.
The noir fuel spirit powers on by itself and starts to activate, and they teleport towards the Forest of Arcturus and the seal, and where everything's happening. Really fast.
Oh, yeah, we didn't waste any time.
And as a result of all of this anger and all of the work that Croy has done with the SSS, she disables the ability to use the Sorcerer's Stone as for magic. That's it. Everything's powerless. The ley lines are destroyed. And the girls get thrown into the Forest of Arcturus as well. Oh, boy. Just everything... everything happened at the same time. Did anybody think that Croy was going to, one, actually unlock the seal, and two, unlock it so easily.
No, I definitely thought there was going to be more of a struggle there for her to get to it. But then once she did open it up, I kind of was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense, too, the way she took it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with Stacey. I didn't think it was going to be that easy, and I thought more of the struggle. I thought she was going to... I didn't see her having a character change the way that she did, so I saw it basically panning out where she was going to be the ultimate person they were going to have to fight. And once she was, you know, destroyed, then it would
dispelled
be,
of.
Once she was out of the picture, then it would be about destroying the machine that she now has no control over.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I did think it was really interesting when she got in there and got this, you know, huge magical power, which ended up being a little twig. And of course, with Croy, we get her looking at it and going, all right, this is it. And I feel like that kind of, and then she could do some silly party tricks with it, right? And I feel like that really reflected the way she looked at magic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, it makes total sense. She's not able to use this to its full potential because she doesn't believe in magic the way that whoever's going to wield this needs to believe in magic.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the shiny rod didn't choose her in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And being presented, because it seemed like it was more, she was expecting more of a feeling, more of like a power surge, more like something unimaginable. But then getting this bubble stick, what, everything that she thought she knew was just thrown to the wayside. Poor her. Anyway, we go back to the real world where all of us, like, there might be a governmental coup to where using the soccer riots as a way to lower the amount of power that we never get country names, lower the amount of power that the neighboring country has. And Andrew's like, why are you taking advantage of people at their lowest? That's the worst. Now, Andrew, throughout this entire experience, has been showing real signs of leadership, not of politician and not of politicking, but of leadership and being able to lead a certain sects of people into one glorious Andrew-led future. But despite it was a weird initially because of the way, like, I thought that, of course, the two episodes were going to be linked and we would have had a big overarching story from episodes 24 to 25. But then when it was kind of resolved so quickly,
yes,
that was then the thing of, oh, all of my expectations have been met, now what's going to happen?
Right. I was like, okay, wait, it looks like we just wrapped things up pretty neat and tidy. Where can we go now?
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. So the machine goes out of control. It creates a rage dragon, which looks similarly to the dragon in the OVA. And similar, just it's a very good style dragon. Ends up eating Chariot. And we see the first, oh, well, no, that wasn't the double team, but, Diana, or the girls all go onto the scene, Diana and Akko attack and melt part of the dragon, which turns to shiny arc returning. Awesome. We got that arrow biz again. Mm-hmm. And I was close. Maybe it wasn't forgiveness. Maybe it was acceptance. What did y'all think the final word was?
I thought it was tied to acceptance, for sure, because it was not only just forgiving each other for, you know, everything going on, but also accepting kind of what happened and accepting what others had done or what they had done themselves.
Yeah. Once the dragon dissipates, the Sorcerer's Stone returns and we get the talk. Now, initially when Akko started off here, and she was talking about, oh, it was my dream to meet you, and this, that, and it seemed like, girl, did you block out?
I was like, oh my god, is she, like, traumatized?
Did she revert? Yeah,
is
right?
She, like,
it's you!
What's happening?
I see you now, girl, are you okay?
Ooh. Yeah, and I was wondering, too, like, I was expecting that there would be more of a confrontation, not just, you know, what she always wanted to say to Chariot, but also what, you know, like, she was very upset by what she found out. I just really wanted her to at least broach the subject and kind of talk about it a little bit, even though what she said was very powerful. And it does show that she was able to forgive Chariot for anything she might have done.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I took the word to mean more of togetherness and that if you work as a team, you can accomplish anything.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that, especially with the seal that we've been seeing since the beginning of the second half, having the arms joined together. Yeah, I could totally see that. But this whole thing, Akko sort of coming into her own and at least expressing to herself and expressing to everybody else that, yeah, my dream came true, what's next? And the realization of, I mean, 25 episodes in and being like, all right, I have to work hard. It's a little bit of a journey because there are a couple times throughout this entire series where Akko's been like, no, learns the importance of patience. Then the next episode, she was like, I'm too impatient for this. And like knowing the lesson, but not being able to understand it, not being able to apply it. And I think now that the facade, the facade of Ursula/Chariot being dropped and the reality of the situation, she was able to finally come out of this dream world and her dream world, which, to be fair, real powerful dream world, but now is able to take things a little bit more seriously. There's so much. They end up using the final word, just because we got to get to this finale. They end up using the final word to restore the forest to its former glory. It's just absolutely beautiful. There's flowers and everything, and Croy's just freaking out. And then there's a missile.
P.S. <Yes. laughs>
We got a missile too.
BT dubs. Missile.
That anger is some powerful, powerful spirits. You know, possess a missile. Here we go.
Because it's a missile.
You know.
It's a magic show. So there's a missile.
Of course. Are you okay, Mark?
So bizarre.
I don't know. Like, I thought tension was great once they introduced it, but it kind of seemed random to me. Like, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had to think about time. You had to think about it for a minute. It's like, okay, well, I guess that's why they've been introducing all of these tensions between the two countries, so that a missile didn't seem completely like...
Yeah, because it doesn't seem out of the blue. In the Okay, before we go full on into the the end, is there anything from the second to last episode that you still wanted to talk about?
I just wanted to say that something that really stood out to me is when Akko's talking to Chariot at that final moment, and she says, I was hoping you'd still be my professor. I've realized Chariot is Chariot and I am me. That I loved it.
Yeah, and even I still want you to be my teacher. I love you.
Yeah.
And it's just precious. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Ultimate Crazy One, welcome. I don't know if you've joined the show before, but welcome. Says Croy's reaction to the stick was just da best. Agreed.
True.
Monty, for Magical World, I wasn't expecting a missile, but then again, it is an anime.
And a trigger anime,
especially. Now, this one, they did end up making more sense of than a Kill la Kill, than a Panty Stocking and Garter Belt, than a Gurren Lagann. But you know what? This one worked. For me, it was more of, okay, tensions are resolved, Croy is defeated, we have all seven magical words. It's sort of like, it's like this. It's sort of like a video game where you fully level up, and they give you that one extra level. Yeah. Okay, you're fully powered up. Go have some fun. That's what this last episode was.
Yeah.
Because we got to see a lot from all of our favorite characters. Even some of our not favorite characters. That's not true. But yeah, we end up... Akko makes the claim like, hey, no. We can stop it. We're the nine new witches.
So cute. I kind of saw that coming when it was, you know, the seven of them landed in the forest. And at first I was like, okay, well, the seven words... And then there are the seven girls, and then I was like, oh, and then if you add Croy and you know, Chariot to the equation.
I was hoping we'd get a moment of, oh good, we're still young.
We're part of this. Great.
Thank you.
We're not that old.
Yeah, no, they're like 10 years removed from school. Yeah, no. this was a lot. This was just a lot, a lot, Ugh. A lot. They get what they refer to it as a blessing from the Nine Old Witches, but Croy and Chariot back on the same page. Give them a blessing, which turns all of their outfits white, which is very adorable. I thought Susie was going to have a fit.
She looked so upset.
She like, was not thrilled.
White?
Man.
Or could you doing this for the group.
Could you imagine if everybody's was like stark white and hers was like jet black? Like black accents, black everything. She'd be like...
Her willpower was so strong that yes. Like they just could not put her in white.
It was like mushroom print.
Yeah. It's like, what? Fight me.
This is the blessing.
This is a blessing.
And that's when we find out that the missile is heading towards the, quote, rival country. And this could create a political incident.
Good.
That's not great. Everybody in the room is freaking out. But then we find out that everybody around the world who had the app, who had the emotions app that I'm still sure Croy is still making bank on, was immediately disrupted and created a feed where everybody could watch the missile.
And Croy made a really good point.
Yeah. Who's recording? Who's taping this?
Yeah.
Magic.
The cubes have a film crew among them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how it is.
Which Invisible. Film crew, yeah. Eastman says, Susie wore the same outfit in Enchanted Parade. This is not new for Susie. Technically, Enchanted Parade doesn't exist in the same universe because that's how they meet Constance, Yasmika, and Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... Whatever. Anyway, regardless. Alright, so... We get a situation where the Seven Girls create a giant broom with rocket ship-esque boosters filled with magical energy from the SSS to get them just to catch them up to the missile. This was adorable.
It was so silly. It was great.
Especially everybody giving them the push.
Oh, yeah. It was so cute.
Okay, so what's her name and her donut?
Yasmika.
Oh, Yasmika.
Well, I did a good job. I earned this.
Yep. Yeah. She had like the got biggest smile on her face.
Yeah, she had a huge... this is a weird sentence. Well, here, I will reword it. She discharged a whole lot of magic after Lotte got rid of the wind resistance, thanks to the wind spirit, and fired them even further. Constance, with just sheer rockets...
Yep.
Even further, and then Amanda with an extra burst of energy straightened them out and boom, let them fly, and just kept departing. Was anybody a little bit I was a little bit sad that after the they showed that it was like the power of three on the seal, mm-hmm. that Lotte and Susie weren't a part of the final
confrontation too, yes. Yeah, because I kind of feel like they're her best friends. They should have been there too. That would have made it more powerful, but I guess they needed them to give that extra push in the right direction.
Yeah. And it's sad because we've been through so much with the main three that these past couple of episodes, it's changed into Akko and Diana, which is fine.
Right.
We're still waiting for that fan art. Of Diana as Christine, Akko as Phantom, and Andrew as Raoul, but I guess we'll have to wait a little bit longer.
Your hourly reminder.
Well, I mean, on Mondays anyway. It's only been 3 weeks, but it's just pure madness. They start running out of magical energy as people start to believe in them, and we get a spirit bomb situation where everybody's belief in Diana and Akko becomes new magical energy to the point where we'll get to that, but Croy uses her magic hacking wizardry to add more eyes, more belief, superpowers them up. Then Chariot gets on the mic, is like, yo, check these girls out, they're gonna save the world, you better believe in them. And despite all of this, we're back in the Situation Room, and Andrew's dad and another political figure who I don't think we ever get named. Or was that Lewis's dad? That's Lewis's dad. Okay. It's like, witches, come on.
Ridiculous.
Even in all of this, even amongst all of this, they send a couple of missiles that do nothing, but despite that, here are these two little girls that are still heading towards space in the upper atmosphere, trying to stop this thing. witches.
Yeah.
That's when our boy Andrew comes through clutch. What did y'all think of Andrew's decision to stand up to his dad here?
I'm so proud of him.
It was awesome. Yeah.
We've been building towards this, so it was a really satisfying moment for him to finally... I mean, so he understood it in the previous episodes, and now he's putting it to use. And,
yeah.
You know, it's always nice to see.
He's finally standing up for himself, too.
Yes.
And how did the dad not go personal with Diana? That was the question that I did. It's just like, witches, but not like...
Oh, it's Diana.
It's your friend. It's that girl whose house we were just at. You know, nothing from that.
And it seems like, because they presented it, that they have a pretty close relationship and they have a pretty regularly reoccurring relationship. So the fact that he just seemed completely nonplussed by it, I guess, was...
Unless he just didn't even realize who it was.
So stressed.
It was a big old close-up.
Yeah.
And of all people for Andrew to notice first... He notices Akko, even though he knows Susie, even though he knows Lotte, even though he knows, especially Diana.
Miss Katagari.
It's like why wasn't it like Miss Cogary and Miss Cavendish or like any of that stuff? Also, keeping it classy, adding a miss in there. Good man.
Right.
To the point where the Prime Minister arrives and is like, "Yo, this kid. I agree with him." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, yes, sir, yes, sir." Let's go out and cheer, everybody. And why are people in power these days in animes just shorter folk?
Yeah, it's kind of a recurring trend now.
Yeah. In My Hero, in this, in Fairy Tale, there it's around, it's there. I guess, you know, it's like calling a big person tiny. Like, there's all sorts of that stuff. All right, now... Once Diana and Akko are on their own, we get the music sting. Shiny Ray starts playing. I'm sorry. They start using magic. They start transforming things into like stuffed animals and so much of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Akko just showing her ability to think on the fly. Diana showing how much of an excellent flyer she is. A real teamwork scenario. Before we get to the return, this sequence, because we were all freaking out everything.
I mean, we got a couple of really cute throwbacks to some of Akko's, you know, most classic adventures, and just I don't know. I liked Diana's fast flying.
Mm-hmm. We all were just. I'm happy that we do this show early enough in the day to where there's not too many other folks in the studio, because we were cheering. We were uproariously cheering at some of the stuff that was happening. And as the missile starts to transform and just start killing everybody, in essence... It starts growing in power to a form that overcomes the girls. We get a giant whale. We get a floating Wailord. That's great.
Yeah.
Shout out to you Pokemon fans. And now, when we were first like, how are we going to get there? Nothing can catch up to it that fast. That's where I went, that's not true at all.
Something.
The shooting star can do it in a flipping heartbeat. It's probably... still flying around the world, and it didn't come through.
It's been heading back around this whole time.
It's been waiting for the moment to come by, grab Akko, grab Diana. We got super powerful magic broom that seems to be listening to Akko now.
It does. It does indeed.
Because it stopped. It understood everything that was going on. That's when we get our music sting. The power of the girls comes to a fever pitch because... we see Yggdrasil. I did not have anything to expect.
Not that at all.
And it looked gorgeous. Not just because my favorite color is green, but it looked gorgeous. And the girls fire off a giant shiny arc together, which one of the things that I'm sad we didn't get, even though this was an amazing, amazing finish, amazing resolve, amazing finale... was I would so much to get a geek out moment from Diana of like, after this, they land and just be like, "We just did like we to do the full shiny chariot, like, we just did the thing, we did it." And Akka's like,
We got this.
This is my third time doing it.
Well, that by now.
You'll get used to it. Ugh. But coming together, both firing it, shows, and somebody mentioned it earlier in the chat, that their relationship is sort of a reflection of Croy and Chariots, but this one where they're both on the exact same page.
Yes.
And to think of what Croy and, I mean, we wouldn't have a show at this point, but to think of what Croy and Chariot could have done if that resentment wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that indignance wasn't there. Doesn't matter. We got a giant happy face explosion.
That was hilarious.
Amazing.
Yes.
Man, I want to watch this finale, like, right now.
It's just so cute.
They couldn't stress the happiness emotion anymore.
No. And it explodes and, like, magic butterflies go all around the world and land to people, and people are happy. People are feeling great. And in that sense, they changed the world with the magic, with the help of the Grand Triskelion. And as Diana and Akko, lords of the earth they have become, stare upon it from space, the shiny rod dissipates and returns to space.
That was a nice moment, yeah.
And that's it. It's done.
And it was so wonderful because Akko, you know, just, she is the purest of heart. And, you know, she... Goodbye, thank you for everything. Not like, no, I want to keep this power. Like, there's literally, like, nothing greedy about her in this moment at all.
And that's the thing with Diana is she, like you said, she's on the same page. So even though it kind of, leading up to this moment, they did seem to be kind of a reflection on Croy and Chariot's relationship, except Diana is much more similar to Akko and pure of heart and is not upset that they no longer have the shiny rod and has no, like, you know, bad intentions to at all.
And it goes back to one of our favorite lines from Diana leaving the school. I never thought of us as rivals. Aesman says, I'm disappointed we never got an Akko and Diana hug. Agreed.
Fan art.
I think we got something, like, comparable, though, with the two of them.
They'll get there.
Yeah.
Like, Diana still doesn't quite get... like physical friend, like physical friendship, appreciation, sort of a thing. When they land, everybody dives and celebrates. But Diana's like, "What is
Diana's
this?
Like, what just happened? What are you doing?
Why would you attack her? She just saved the world. Why are they attacking me? Did
personal
I do something
space,
wrong?
Personal space. She's very concerned.
Andrew's dad is like, "Hey, you never gave up on them. I'm willing to talk to you about witches and the world of them and to understand them." Which I think is a huge step for him and a huge step for Andrew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wasn't expecting that from his dad at all.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of, I kind of figured he would just continue to be angry. So the fact that he's changing at all is...
Maybe Lewis's dad. And that was another moment we got of all of the students seeing the stream and Frank going, "Oh, those are the witches we met." And everybody's going, "What are witches going to do?" And Lewis going, "What if they're trying to save us?" Which makes everybody go,
one has anything to say after that.
About that. Aesman again, on fire here. We see a little girl that looks just like Akko. Maybe she's going to be to Akko what Chariot was to her. Not everybody can be as touchy-feely as everybody else. Good point, P.W. Gregory.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so with the shiny rod gone, we go into our epilogue. Croy will be welcome back at any time.
That was really strange.
That was very odd. That was very fast forgiveness.
I mean, here's the thing. Croy did obviously come to a moment where she realized what she was doing was majorly wrong. But how could they just say, "Oh yeah, come back, like, nice to see you.
We'll miss you.
We'll see you soon."
Well, I can understand it with Chariot. I can understand Chariot going, "Oh, we had this moment."
But the rest of the witches.
Principal.
Well, and the rest of the teachers, the last time that they saw her reasonably was when they were fighting her over Chariot.
Like, she took their magic. Her,
right? When she... So it's like, "Oh, we'll miss you so much."
Right.
You okay there?
Well, I think if there's anybody that would understand, it would be the principal of any of the faculty. I think it would be the principal. But the weird thing was with that scene, she was wearing some sort of a covering, and she had two uniformed people behind her.
Yeah.
Now, it seemed like a really nice, pleasant way to end the confrontation, But it seemed like they were taking her away somewhere.
I agree.
Prison? Azkaban? Yeah,
something.
Like, where?
Like the mental hospital? Azkaban? Like, I don't
maybe.
Because it yeah. was definitely
maybe she checked herself
away.
In to deal with her emotions, but we don't
that
know.
That would be very
they kept it light and happy. We don't need that darkness,
no,
apparently.
She definitely was being taken away, because you don't just leave Luna Nova with an escort.
Right.
You just,
yeah.
And Marcus Corazon brings it up. Man in a male equivalent of a Luna Nova uniform. Maybe it's another school. Maybe it's another organization. Something to do mm-hmm. with their equivalent of the Ministry of Magic.